the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from me.
For heaven's sake, Bentley, cheer up. Honestly, you're getting on everybody's nerves. You've been mooning around like a water diviner who's lost his twig. What's worrying you?
What's worrying me? You mean you haven't seen that bit in the paper?
Which bit?
Look, in future, 1/8 of the BBC's income from radio and television licenses will go to the Treasury.
No.
Because of this reduction in income, the BBC are expected to make certain economies on the sound radio side.
What? They wouldn't touch our money, though, would they? Bentley, if they pay me any less, I can't get by. And there's not going to be two Edwards brothers living on seawater, I can tell you that.
Well, Jim, every program is in danger. Haven't you heard the rumor about the Archers?
What?
Moving them to an allotment.
It'll break Doris's heart.
Yes. Well, the BBC have brought in this efficiency expert chap.
Oh, yes.
And he's going around every single studio and just paring things to the bone. I tell you, Jim, we're as good as
really?
Well. We
hey,
might just...
Frobisher, I'm here. I will do the studio next.
Jim, this is him, the efficiency bloke, the great economizer.
Good evening, good evening. Make a note, Miss Frobisher. Query if essential for two actors to have a script each.
Oh,
query, could not paper be saved by only fat actor having script and thin actor reading over fat actor's shoulder?
Query how the heck thin actor's going to see through fat actor's moustache.
Good thinking. Miss Frobisher, query possibility for economy purposes of cutting off fat actor's moustache.
Query possibility of bald efficiency expert getting a smart slosh around the statistics.
That's no use your blustering, sir. For your information, I have been given powers of authority which are inviolate.
I don't care what colour they're in, it doesn't matter. If you want to talk about me, it's Jim Edwards and not fat actor.
Edwards, I remember that name. Sure. Miss Frobisher, pass me the redundancy file. Yes, as I thought. Mr. Edwards, there is a little tick next to you.
Just a minute, I resent that.
I believe I can face you as well. Do you happen to be Dick Bentley?
I do have that honor, yes.
Well, Bentley and Edwards, there's going to be a lot of changes around here. Is it necessary, for example, for Mr. Harry Rabinowitz to employ so many people in his orchestra?
Yes.
It's very obvious he's carrying some dead wood.
That's his baton. And it's not wood, Mr. Clevercuts.
Oh.
If you must know, it's a corset whalebone. The lady cellist can bow much more vigorously now.
I still think there are too many players. That man at the piano looks redundant to me.
Oh, old Harold. Why, he's been playing the piano for us for ages. 9 years on and off.
On and off.
It's a slippery stool.
Well, I'm sorry he must go. Along with the rest of you, I'm afraid.
But Jim, what are we going to do?
Well, that's not my worry. Now, I must get these recommendations over to the head of accounts immediately. Could you tell me the quickest way to the office area from here?
The quickest way?
Yes.
Yes, I can. Through that door there. Come along.
Just
through
the
door
over here?
Yes.
Straight through. Goodbye.
Well, that's a good job, Jobbed. I say, thin actor.
Yes, fat actor.
Query cost of scraping bald efficiency expert out of disused lift shaft.
While strolling in the park one day, in the merry month of May, I was taken by surprise by a pair of roguish eyes. In a moment my poor heart was stole away.
A smile was all he gave to me. La 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 la. But soon we were happy as could be.
I immediately raised my hat finally did remark. I never shall forget the charmer that I met that happy day while strolling in the park.
While strolling in the park one day, in the merry month of May, I was taken by surprise by a pair of roguish eyes. In a moment, my poor heart was stolen away.
A smile was all she gave to me. But soon we were happy as could be. I immediately raised my hand.
And finally he did remark.
Pardon me, dear lady. Do you come here often?
Only in the mating season, sir.
I never shall forget
the charmer that I met
that happy day while strolling in the park.
Chinks, tall gentlemen, pretty. Oh, Mr. Glum, you look very pensive tonight. Very quiet you've been, Mr. Glum.
Yes, Ted, I've been musing.
You never do nothing else.
Not boozing, musing. Thinking back, Ted. Look, you know my boy Ron.
Ron?
Of course you do.
No, he's the one who come in wearing that white skid lid.
Yes, only it ain't a skid lid. His mother was giving him an haircut and jammed the basin down to her. Well, he's got a girl, see?
Huh?
Eth, that's her name.
Oh, yeah, them going steady?
Oh, very steady, practically motionless. Matter of fact, and this is what I was amusing off about,
yeah.
It happens to be exactly 7 years tonight that Ron first met her.
Go on.
I am going on. Pour us out another brand.
Yeah, sure.
Before he met her, he'd never gone out with any girl. I was his only chum, as you might say.
Yeah.
But that evening, 7 years ago tonight, today, see what I mean? Ron and I, we just got back home from seeing the Ava Gardner picture at the local. Well, close the front door behind you, Ron, and don't make a noise. Your mother's had a bath and gone to bed. You can see the wet footprints leading from the kitchen. Now come in the parlour for a bit of a warm and we'll have a... Ron?
Yes, Dad?
What have you got on your head?
My usual stuff, Dad. I read in the paper it's what Dennis Compton always uses.
I don't mean the linseed oil. I mean, what's that you're wearing on?
My cap, Dad.
It's not your cap, Ron.
Hey?
Some or other, you have on your head a fluffy pink angora beret with a pom-pom.
Pom-pom?
Pom-pom.
Pom-pom.
Don't let's stand here sounding like a couple of Beaufort's guns. You see what's happened, can't you? You see what you've done?
What?
You've picked up the wrong hat in the cinema. That fluffy pink beret belonged to whoever was sitting next to you. Who was it? Try and remember.
There. Do you think it was a girl?
Well, with a hat like that, I'm not suggesting it was a Seaforth Islander. Obviously, it was a girl.
Oh, Dad, you mean I've been sitting next to a girl?
Now, Ron, you're trembling.
Well,
Ron. Now, stop it, Ron.
Well,
oh, you are a most painfully shy boy. The mere mention of girls, and the back of your neck starts glowing as red as a night watchman's brassiere. Are you scared of girls?
Yes, Dad. When I meet a girl, I never know what to do. I just pull me cap down over my face and hope she'll go away.
Oh, Ron.
I can't think of anything to say.
Oh, Ron, knowing what to say is the easiest part. There's hundreds of acceptable phrases. Excuse me, but do you come here often?
I live here, Dad.
Ron, I know where you live. I ought to know that. I'm explaining the technique to you.
Technique.
I mean, you might say, for example, can I get you a still lemon? Or, I find the company in here rather boring. Let's take a stroll in the shrubbery. You get it, Ron?
No, Dad.
Well, try and remember. It's important that you get over this shyness, Ron. I don't like it. How do you expect to get married and have children if you won't go near a girl?
I'll think of something.
No, Ron. It's my duty as a father to get you started. And what's more, I believe I know how. This pink, fluffy Angora berry might be fate knocking at your door. You know why?
Because of the pom-pom?
No, because a girl who goes to the cinema by herself is obviously unattached. And if she takes her hat off in the pictures, it either shows that she's not only considerate of others, but also that she's not bald. Now, either way, she sounds a good spec for you. Ron, give me my bowler over.
What's your bowler over, Dad?
Ron, give me over my bowler. At.
Over.
I'm going back to that cinema. This girl's bound to have left her name and address there as soon as she found out her hat was missing. If I can get you and her meeting each other, Ron, boy, our troubles are over.
But, Dad...
I'll go out the back door. It's quicker.
But, Dad! Dad, come back. I don't want to meet any girl. Oh, please, Dad. Oh, thank goodness he heard me.
Good evening. Are you the gentleman in the cinema to whom I sat next?
It's a girl.
Go away. I'm all alone.
But it's about your cap.
My cap?
You left your cap under the seat when you went. I saw your address inside, so I took the liberty of bringing it round.
Ah.
I do hope you were up.
At what?
I haven't got you out of bed, I mean.
Did you say I was the one who was sitting next to you?
Yes.
Then you must be the one who was sitting next to me.
Well, yes, that's right.
My dad wants to talk to you. You'd better come in.
Come in? Well, I am rather soaked. Perhaps I'd better just dry off a bit. Thank you.
The parlour's through here.
Oh, was your dad the stout gentleman who kept blowing down his orangeade straw during the love scene?
Yes.
He must be awfully good company. Shall I sit on the sofa?
If you like.
Thank you.
Excuse me, but do you come here often?
Come where?
I don't know. Dad didn't tell me what to do.
You know, I hope you don't mind my saying this, but in the pictures I could only see you profile. I thought you were much darker skinned.
I'd been eating a choc ice.
You eat a lot in the pictures, don't you? I could hear.
Only mixed nuts and a choc ice and my chewing gum and an apple during the advert.
I like eating in the pictures too.
Do you?
Oh yes, except to Bette Davis.
I've never tasted one of those. What's your favourite flavour of the month?
Neil Upperton.
That's mine, too.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, isn't that strange? There's me just happening to find your cap, and then it turns out we both like Neil Upperton ice cream. Sends a shiver up your spine, doesn't it?
If you have enough of it.
By the way, I don't believe I mentioned it. My name's F.
F?
How about yours?
No, mine isn't.
Let's see if I can guess what your name is. You look like a Charlie to me.
Now, my name is Ron.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it's masculine, isn't it?
No, it's Glum. Ron Glum.
Oh, well, Ron, I mustn't miss my bus. I'm afraid I must be off.
Oh, no, eh?
No.
Stay a bit longer. Wait till Dad comes before you be off.
I'm afraid I can't, Ron.
Oh. Hello?
Ron, boy, I'm at the cinema. Listen, I've just found out the name of the girl who reported losing that berry. Ron, she's the daughter of a very wealthy family. I'm going to ring her up straight away.
She's here, Dad.
What?
She came in to dry off from the rain.
Did she? Ron, put her on the line.
She won't dry that way, Dad.
Now, Ron, let me talk to her.
Oh. F, my dad wants to talk to you, F.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Glum. How do you do?
How do you do? Mr. Glum, Esquire, here. May I say how much I regret the regrettable mix-up with the respective tiffers? We seem to have missed each other. Me being here and you being there, if I might put it so bluntly.
Oh, not a bit.
Oh, but I insist. I wonder if you would deign my family the honour of vouchsafing a cup of tea with us tomorrow. We could straighten matters out over a hot buttered muffin.
Well, that's very nice, I'm sure. Yes, I'd like to.
Oh, splendid. Shall we say 4 for 4:30?
4 for 4:30?
4 for 4:30. Well, the kitchen clock's half an hour slow, you see. So we'll see you tomorrow, then.
And now, while Mr. Glum is getting his hot muffin buttered, let us listen to The Keynotes.
I'm gonna get along without you now. My honey, gonna get along without you now.
You told me I was the neatest thing. You even asked me to wear your ring. Then you ran around with every girl in town. You never cared if it got me down.
I'm gonna get along without you now. My honey, gonna get along without you now. I'm gonna get along without you now. My honey, gonna get along without you now. You told me I was the smartest thing. You even said that you'd wear my ring. Then you ran around with every boy in town. You never cared if it got me down. I'm gonna get along without you now. My honey, gonna get along without you now. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Gonna find somebody who's twice as cute, 'cause I didn't like you anyhow.
You told everybody that we were friends, but this is where the friendship ends. All of a sudden you change your tune. You haven't been around since way last June.
I'm gonna get along without you now. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. So long, my honey. Goodbye, my dear. Gonna get along without you now.
Come on, Ron. Don't wander about. Your rich girlfriend will be here any minute now.
do help me lay this table. Now, don't put the Dundee cake out all bare like that. Put it on one of the lace doilies.
Since when have we had lace doilies, Dad?
Since the moth got in your mum's handkerchiefs. I keep telling you, Ron, this girl has got to be given tea in the style to what she's accustomed. When that cinema manager told me who that had been reported lost by, none other than the Miss Partington of Partington's Multiple Groceries, well, you could have knocked me down with a pom-pom.
What's Partington's, Dad?
What's Partington's? Only the biggest chain of retail groceries in the home counties. They must have at least 150 branches. Oh, at least 150. Oh. We owe money at over 100 of them. And you've got the daughter fancy in you. Well, what are you looking so lugubrious about?
I didn't realize Eth was rich, Dad.
Rich? Ron, if you play your cards right, no member of the Glum family will ever want for cocoa and mixed biscuits again. This is a crucible moment in our futures. Now just remember to behave like a... Oh, hello, this will be a... Action stations, Ron. Open the door.
Righto, Dad.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Eth.
I didn't like to come empty-handed, so I bought a block of ice cream. Ron, it's Neil Overton.
Oh, eh? Our flavour.
And I bet I know where you got that ice cream from. A certain grocery shop?
Oh, how did you know?
Ha-ha. Better than paying for it, eh? Oh, now. Do just come in and divest yourself. We have met over the phone, in a manner of speaking. Oh. I'm Ronald's well-to-do father.
Oh, yes. How do you do?
I know who you are. May I say what a conquest you've made on my sophisticated young man about town here?
Oh, Dad.
Talk about smitten. I've never seen him so smut. Here's me chatting on like a mud pie. You'll be hungry, won't you? Can I press a piece of cake on you?
Thank you. It looks very nice. Did your wife make this?
No. It's quite edible. But perhaps you prefer a muffin. Ron, remove the cover of the muffin dish, lad. Like they taught you in finishing school. Do you like that muffin cover, miss? Solid silver.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is novel. They've made it to look just like a tin hat covered with aluminium paint.
Yes, it is rather amusing, isn't it? But no doubt you have several bits of whimsical silverware up your home.
Oh, no, Mr. Glum. I'm afraid we haven't any.
You haven't? Oh, of course. Gold, Ron, gold. Sure, we'll all be drinking our tea out of gold saucers. Get in there, lad, get in there. Will you excuse me, my dear?
Yes.
I promised to ring up my stockbreaker. Just you cut yourself some Dundee, dear. As thick a slice as you like. We're not short of a few pence.
Thank you.
All right, Ron, get at it.
Ron, when I said I'd come for tea, I didn't realise you lived in this style.
Neither did I, eh?
All right, I'll answer the door, Ron. You concentrate on what you're doing, Ron.
Good afternoon.
Let me a special constable.
Constable? I'm Simpson, chauffeur to Miss Partington.
Oh, Miss Partington, look, she don't want you yet. She's on the sofa with my son.
Oh, but look, I'll...
Give him half hour, please. Once I'm in the family, I'll see you all right for new laid eggs.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Miss Partington is outside in the road.
Outside?
Yes. Would you be good enough to return a pink hat she dropped from the balcony of the cinema onto your son's lap?
From the balcony? You mean she wasn't sitting next to my son?
Is it likely that Miss Partington would sit downstairs in the 1 and 9?
Oh, just a minute. Eth, come here.
Yes, Mr. Glover.
Look at this pink hat with a pom-pom, my dear. Does it mean anything to you?
No, I never wear a hat, Mr. Glum. Oh, and if I did, this would take my wage packets for a year.
Hey, then get your grubby hands off it. Here, Simpson, here's the hat. Oh. And
My compliments to Miss Partington, and would she be pleased to come inside and have a nice intimate muffin tea with my unmarried son?
I doubt it. Miss Partington's 62 and a martyr to her stomach. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must take this hat to be disinfected.
Capitalist lucky! Tool of the boss classes!
Sure. Mr. Glum, what are you so angry about?
You! Oh. You imposter! You're no more rich than what we are!
You mean you aren't rich?
The only thing that's rich around here is the Dundee cake. And that isn't paid for. So I'll thank you to put that slice back.
Don't worry. It'll choke me now. Oh, Ron, I see what happened last night. I walk in here, and the only reason you say all those nice things to me is because you think I've got money.
No, Ed, I don't do things like that.
Like what?
Think. I meant what I said.
Oh, Ron, and do you still?
Oh, yes, Ed. I admire you more than ever. Now I know you're just as cheap and common as I am.
Ron, she won't bring a farthing with her. Ron, think of my old age. Ron, I'll find you another rich girl. Let her be, Ron.
Oh, Ethel.
Ron, this is your father talking. I'm asking you to remember what I told you.
What you told me, Dad? Oh, yes. Ethel?
Yes, Ron, dear.
I find the company in here rather boring. Let's take a stroll in the shrubbery.
Paddy Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Adrian Waller was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...